Welcome to the Church of Quell Creek podcast, a ministry of the Church of Quell Creek in Amarillo, Texas. Dive in with us as we open God's words and then stick around for a message from our pastor.
Well, I'm glad that you're here. If you want to see and hear some weird sounds, go to this door right over here when the wind is blowing. Man, yesterday I was up here a couple of different times just walking around the building and praying in the auditorium and just different places. And you know, it was windy yesterday. If you didn't go outside, you may not have known that it was windy. But, man, I tell you, there were some weird sounds coming from this part of the building. It was kind of scary, you know. I just thought, man, I've never heard that before. And today, one of our members came in the building, and she was getting her hair fixed, and it just kind of blew it in different directions. I'm trying to be nice. And I said, look what it did to mine. And so it blew it right off. So, but, you know, that's part of living in the panhandle. We have some beautiful, beautiful days. And then we have some windy, my goodness, windy days. But I'm thankful to be able to live in the panhandle. Love this place. And it's a great place to live. It's a great place to raise your family. And it's just a great place to live. Let me begin by saying I'm a work in progress. John, I love John Mickey. You know, God says that we're to love everyone. So, John, I love you. But I'm a work in progress. Man, I tell you what, I look at my life and I just think, God must have a great sense of humor. And somebody cackled back there. you know, I just think, man, I've come a long way in my life, but I have a long way to go. You know, one day I'm going to hear the Lord say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys that I have prepared for you. At the rate I'm going, I'm going to be well in my hundreds because I have so much, so far to go to become more like Jesus Christ. Have you noticed that in Scripture, there's some really simple passages, just clear as day, passages of Scripture. And have you noticed how difficult it is to obey those passages of Scriptures? It can be so clear and simple, yet I know for myself, I struggle to live out those passages of Scriptures. For example, and I know there's many that you could come up with, but Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 says, to love your enemies. Amen. Wow. A simple passage of Scripture. To love your enemies. And if you went on ahead and read that verse, it talks about what we're to do with our enemies. It doesn't say we're supposed to get back at them. It doesn't say that we're supposed to hate them or anything like that. It says we're to love them and we're to pray for those who despitefully use us. Matthew chapter 7 verse 1 says that we're not to judge. A simple passage of Scripture, but so difficult to live out. How we judge one another, how we judge those who are on the streets, how we just look down on people, how we judge one another. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 says, rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. Even in those hard times, such a simple passage of Scripture. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Let me just tell you, I'm preaching this message to myself. If y'all wanted to leave and just leave me in here by myself, I would still preach this message because I'm having to live these things out as well. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says to consider it pure joy when you face trials. Is there anybody in here that, don't raise your hand, that you love to face trials? Man, I don't. Man, I struggle. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, here's another one. Don't worry about anything. How many of you worry? Oh, my goodness. As I was preparing for this message, you know, I struggle in so many areas. That's why I said, you know, I've come a long way, but I have a long way to go to become more like Jesus, to live out these scriptures that that I'm talking about. You know, you've probably never done this, but, you know, reading your Bible and you read these passages of scriptures and you say in your mind, I wish that it said this, or I think it would be better if it was stated this way. I know you've never done that, but oftentimes I catch myself thinking, well, you know, James should have written it this way. Paul should have said it this way. You know, oftentimes we try to justify our thinking or our actions by just twisting the scripture just a little bit. You know, I don't know if you've ever done that, but oftentimes we twist the scriptures just so that it says what we want it to say. You know, our lives, how much better they would be if we would just obey the scriptures. I know it would be for mine. You know, one of my greatest fears is having the proper interpretation of a passage of scripture, that I don't take it out of context of when it was written and who it was written to. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32, it says, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You should not add to it or take away from it. One of the clearest passages of scripture in the Bible is one that Brian just read, James chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. Would you take your Bible or would you take your device and let's read that again. James chapter 1, will be our text for today. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 20 says, dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to anger. For human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Now, there is no doubt who James is writing to in this passage of scripture. He's writing to believers. He calls them my beloved or my dear brothers and sisters. James loved these folks. He loved them with all of his heart, and he wanted the very best for their Christian life. He wanted them to become more like Jesus Christ and to live a full and meaningful life. As one of your pastors, we've been here for 26 years. I love you guys. And you know, I want the very best for your relationship with Jesus Christ. I want you to grow. I want you to become all that Jesus wants you to be. And we are on this journey together. And you know, when one of us falls down, the others pick us up and lift us up and encourage us. And when you fall and when you stumble, you know, I want to be there to encourage you, to lift you up, and to encourage you, to love you. So in verses 19 through 20, James is speaking to believers. In some translations, the Bible says in verse 19, it says, this you know, or understand this. He begins to remind them. It could be that it's an indication of that they may have already knew what James was going to tell them. One commentary put it this way, you know, but you have forgotten. They knew, but they have forgotten. How often do I have to remind myself these simple scriptures that we can read, how I'm to live my life. A few weeks ago, Kyle had preached about James chapter 1 and how it is the background for the entire book of James. I'm not going to take time to go back because Kyle did such a great job of explaining the first part of it. But verses 1 through 18, we see here that they are to endure trials and temptations, that they're to overcome the sin that's all around them. Verses 19 through 27, James warns the believers that failure to receive the Word of God can lead to disaster. And you'll see that in weeks to come as different ones will be preaching through the book of James. How true is that in our lives? That if we don't obey the scriptures, our lives can become so messed up and out of joint that we just think, man, how did I get myself in this situation? You know, as Christians, our greatest desire should be to have such a love and a hunger for God's word. Not just a love and a hunger, but that we obey the things that we read, the things that we study, the things that God lays on our hearts. You know, I believe that we can have a love and a hunger for the Word of God, but when it comes to obeying the Word of God, sometimes we're a little bit resistant. John chapter 8, verse 31 says, "If you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth shall what? Shall set you free." In today's message, I want to share with you how you can develop that hunger, how you can have that thirst for God's word, and how you can see your life strengthened as a result of studying God's word. Secondly, I want to share with you how you can obey God's word on a daily basis, even in those times where you just think, I don't know if I can do that or not. And then lastly, I want to share with you some signs that you're growing in your faith. You know, the Bible says that our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever wondered why God gave you two ears and one mouth? Think about it. You know, I think of all the body parts that God has given to us, and each one of them has a purpose. You know, for example, in your mouth, go home this afternoon and look. You know, open your mouth and you'll look on both sides. There's a hole on the inside of your mouth. You know, there's a reason and a purpose for that. And I know some of you are probably looking at your neighbor and saying, "Open your mouth, let me look." Don't go that far. Don't go that far. But we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I've had doctors tell me, "You're just weird." And one doctor said, "I can't figure you out." And I said, "You know, my wife can't either." And that's the truth. And we are all fearfully and wonderfully made. Aren't you glad you came to church just to find out that you're fearfully and wonderfully made and that Dale is weird? You know, that's not the reason to come to church, but to find out that I'm weird. But we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Verses 19, beginning in verse 19, it says that we are to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Amen. How simple is that? Is there anybody in here that finds that it is simple to live out in your life? I want to see you after the worship service because I'd like to talk to you and to find out how you do it. The first thing that we want to look at this morning is that we are to be quick to listen. In some translations of the Bible, it says quick, and others it says swift to hear. You know, listening and hearing go hand in hand. Everyone is to be quick to listen. One of the words that I want you to underline in your Bible is the word everyone. You know, in this passage of Scripture, it doesn't say some are to be quick to listen. It says everyone. It doesn't say John is to be quick to listen, or that Lynn is to be quick to listen, or that Betty is to be quick to listen. It says that everyone is to be quick to listen. The question that we need to ask ourselves is, am I listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying to me through the Scriptures? You know, sometimes we talk more than we listen. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 20. I'm going to give you several passages of Scripture in Proverbs. Proverbs is such a great book in the Bible of telling us how to live our lives. But Proverbs chapter 29, verse 20 says, "Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him." This verse describes someone who is impulsive, quick to speak before thinking, and likely to make mistakes as a result. You know, as I was thinking about this passage of Scripture, oftentimes I'm reading in God's Word, and do you ever find yourself doing this, that you're reading God's Word and you're just reading words, and you're not really absorbing or soaking in what that passage of Scripture is saying to us? There's been times I've said, man, what did I just read? I have no idea. Sometimes we just read the words and we don't allow the Holy Spirit to speak into our hearts and our lives. I want to give you three things to consider about being a good listener. I'm not going to go into any detail on each one of these, but just to give you three things to consider. One is concentrate on what's being said as you're reading God's Word, or when you're talking to somebody, concentrate on those things. You know, some of you, I can't do this, but some of you can listen to music while you're reading the Scriptures. Some of you can multitask. I can do one thing. You know, most of us guys, and the ladies will say an amen to this. Most of the ladies can multitask. Most of us guys, we're working in one box. We can do one thing at a time. But to concentrate on what's being said. Number two, consider what the other person is saying. What are they really saying? You know, we had a staff member that I served with, not here, okay? I don't want you to try to figure out who this person was. But he was one of those guys that he would be talking to you or you'd be talking to him, and you could tell he's looking at you, but his mind is someplace else. And there were those times that I'd have to say, "Look at me." And he'd say, "Well, I am looking at you." I said, "No, you're not. You're really not. You're not listening to what I'm saying." But, you know, consider what the other person is saying. Number three, understand what is being said. What is the context of the passage of Scripture that you're reading? Understand what's being said. Secondly, that we're to do is we're to be slow to speak. Listening and speaking go hand in hand, as I've said. One commentator put it this way: you cannot listen carefully while you're talking or even while you're thinking about what to say. The main idea here is that when the appropriate time to speak does come, what is said should be carefully thought out. If I had you raise your hands, how many of you would say, "I struggle with this"? You know, just thinking about what's going to be said next. The Bible has much to say about slow to speak and tongues. I had a friend one time, he went to church here, I'll give you that. You can try to figure out who it is. But he said, "You know, I just love to let it rip. Whatever comes out of my mouth, I love to see how God is going to get me out of it." I thought, boy, that's dangerous. If I was that person, God would probably just say, you got yourself into it. Let's see how you get yourself out of it. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19 says, when there are many words, sin is unavoidable. But the one who controls his lips is prudent. When there are many words, sin is unavoidable. But the one who controls his lips is prudent. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 23 says, the one who guards his mouth and tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Do you find yourself always in trouble? You know, maybe it's because there's more that's coming out of your mouth than what should. Sometimes I'm right there. Sometimes I'm in trouble, because I've said too much. Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And then 1 Peter 3:10 says, for the one who wants to love life and to see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. One commentary put it this way, if our speech is out of control, is not controlled by God, it is a sure indicator that his heart is not either. Let me read that again. If our speech is not controlled by God, it is a sure indicator that our hearts are not either. You know, there's a passage of scripture in James chapter 3, and you'll hear a message on that in the next few weeks. But James chapter 3 talks about the power of the tongue. Third, I want to share with you is that as believers, we must be slow to anger. You know, as you're reading the Bible, do you find yourself getting angry at what you're reading? You know, let's be honest with ourselves. As you're reading God's Word, do you find yourself getting angry? The context of this passage of Scripture, it seems that James is addressing that inner anger toward the Word of God. You know, one commentary put it this way, James's emphasis here seems to be on those who hear the truth and they resent it exposing their personal false ideas and ungodly lifestyles. You know, I don't think there's a person in here that could tell me that sometimes God's word does not offend you. That sometimes there are times that as you're reading God's word, you get angry at what the Bible is saying. God understands that. God understands that his word sometimes just penetrates our hearts and our minds, and sometimes we struggle with those things. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. You know, as I started out this message, I said, I've come a long way, but I have a long way to go. You know, God's word helps us to become more like Jesus Christ. And Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this about God's word. For the word of God is living and effective and sharper than a double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of the soul and the spirit, the joint and marrow. It's able to judge the hearts and the intentions of our minds. And then Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise person holds it in check. You know, I just want to say that as Christians, we need to learn how to control the anger that's in our lives. Think about it. Sometimes our anger, sometimes the smallest things set us off, right? They didn't bring the right food for lunch. the waitress didn't bring the dessert that I asked her for. Those small things can often cause us to become angry. And a lot of times we express those things. Let me just tell you, brothers and sisters, those who are Christians, the non-Christian world is watching us. Think about it. Those who are without Christ, they're watching our lives. What are they seeing in your life? When you're out in public, when you're maybe at the traffic light or somebody cuts you off, what are people seeing in your lives? You know, we're going to experience those difficult emotions as we read God's Word. And sometimes as we read God's Word, it just, I know for myself, God's Word shows me that I'm a broken person. And sometimes that's hard to accept. Sometimes I think that I've got it all together and that there's life is going just incredibly great. But oftentimes as I'm reading God's Word, it shows me just how broken I am and how much I'm in need of a Savior. There's other times as I'm reading God's Word and I see just how blessed I am. You know, oftentimes we think, man, if I only had this, if I only had this type of lifestyle to live. You know, God has blessed us. There's a song, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One. You know, at the times when you're feeling like God has not blessed you, sit back and begin writing out those blessings that God has given to you. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Getting angry at God's Word, folks, does not bring us closer to God. Think about that. The last point that I want to make is verse 20 and 21. It says, for human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all immoral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. Humbly receive the implanted Word of God, which is able to save your soul. The righteousness that God desires is not being produced in me when I have anger toward God's Word. When I'm reading God's Word and I begin to just be convicted of the sin that's in my life, you know what happens a lot of times? When we become convicted about sin, when we become angry at what we're reading in God's Word, you know what happens? A lot of times we close the Bible and push it aside. When God wants the very best for us. The solution is found in verse 21. Get rid of all the moral filth and evil that is so prevalent in our lives. What this is saying is that we are to get rid of the sin that's in our lives. You know, no one has to point out the sin that's in your life. Read God's Word. God's Word will show you those things that are not pleasing to Him. And if we want to live a life that's pleasing to God, if we want to live a life of blessings, if we want to live a life full of joy and happiness and peace, we need to rid ourselves of those sins that are in our lives. It means looking inside and figuring out why we're angry. You know, look around you, not in here, but just look around the world in which you live. There are a lot of angry people. And because of that anger in their hearts and their lives, they're doing some crazy, crazy things. You know, shooting up people, running over people, all kinds of things. We've got to look inside our hearts and our lives and get rid of those sins. And lastly, the last part of this verse, and I know it'll be spoken about next week, is that we need to let the implanted Word of God transform our lives. Amen. Listen at that. The implanted Word of God will change your life. If you're struggling this morning with anger, if you're struggling with addiction, whatever it is that you're struggling with, if you will get into God's Word and read God's Word, God will begin to transform your life. And that's a promise, not a promise that I make to you today. It's a promise that God makes to us in His Word. God has promised that if you will read His Word, if you'll pray, God will change your life. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, Dale, my life is messed up. Dale, my life is so miserable. I have so much anger, so much bitterness, so much envy in my life this morning that I need God's Word to transform me. You know, God will do that if you'll just get in His Word. You know, we started a Bible reading plan at the beginning of the year. How many of you are still in that Bible reading plan? Oftentimes, we allow other things to come into our hearts and our lives that draw us away from God's Word. There's nothing more that the devil wants than for you to take God's Word, to close it, and put it aside. Maybe that's where you're at this morning. You know, maybe you've come to that point in your life that you've just said, I don't like what God says in His Word, and I'm pushing it aside. You know, if we want God's blessings on our lives, we need to be in God's Word. Amen. We need to be in prayer. We need to be in church. We need to be in with a group of people that will help hold us accountable to growing in our faith in Jesus Christ. I've come a long way, but I have a long way to go. And I'm thankful to be on this journey of growing in my relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask Brian and his team to go ahead and come on up. I want you to close your eyes and bow your heads just for a few moments. Maybe you're here this morning and, you know, my goodness, what simpler passage of Scripture could we look at today for a simple message, but a message that I know this guy struggles with, being just quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to anger. Maybe you're here this morning and you'd say, Dale, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. That's where you need to start. That's where you need to come to the point in your life realizing that that Jesus is not living in your life. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't matter where you're at in your life right now. It doesn't matter what you have done in the past. It doesn't matter if you'll just come to Jesus just as you are. Accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here this morning and you're looking for a church home. This is a great place to worship and serve the Lord. Come and be a part of this fellowship. Maybe there's just some stuff going on in your life today that you need someone to pray with you about. In just a few moments, there's some of us that will be standing here at the front, and we'd love to pray with you and just to lift you up in prayer. That's what brothers and sisters in Christ do. We lift one another up. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we just come before you, Lord, and Father, I think about the simple passages of Scriptures that I've read today, the ones that we're to rejoice always in whatever we're going through, The scripture that says we're to trust you with all of our hearts and with all of our lives, Lord, and Father, knowing that whatever's going on in our lives today, that you will carry us through those. Father, I pray that, Lord, you'll just speak into our hearts and our lives today. And Father, I just sense this morning that, Father, there's many of us that are struggling with the simple passages of Scripture today. Father, we're struggling at obeying what we have read in your word. And Father, I pray that you would just give us the strength to live out these verses. Father, that we would trust you, that we would not judge, that we would just give our total lives to you, Lord. So, Father, I don't know what the invitation is going to look like today, but Father, I know that you're calling each of us to draw closer to you. So, Father, I pray that in the name of Jesus, we would be obedient to what you're calling us to do during this time. For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray.
Hey, this is Pastor Kyle. I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you see the love that Jesus has for you by paying the price for your sins. I pray that if you haven't already, you would take the time right now to talk to Jesus and ask him to forgive your sins and lead your life from here on out. We would love to talk to you about Jesus and getting to know him better. Contact us by emailing us at info@tcqc.org, tcqc.org, or by finding us on social media. We would love to meet you. I hope you had a wonderful day, and as always, we would love for you to join us for worship really soon.